Fruit Fly, guys, it's the hot topic. You're joining forces to get the message out there. And seeing the Jaffers a fair bit, the orange overalls, they are flat out, those teams. They just seem to be everywhere at the moment, and for good reason.
They certainly are. There are nearly 500 Jaffers.
Really?
In between Adelaide and the Riverland. But okay. I think important to know that they're out there for a good cause, and that is knocking on doors, educating people, asking to look into backyards, to look at the hygiene around fruit trees, but also to just entertain the idea of any people that aren't looking after their neighbour's business, that they need to clean up their fruit, make sure they pick the ripe fruit, and don't move fruit. Mm. That's the big message that we're getting to every backyard.
Now, Nicola, you've certainly been not dragged up through the ranks, but really the spotlight's been put on you at the moment. Being a Riverland girl, I guess everyone's sort of going, well, you need to join with Tim and help get this message across.
Absolutely. You know, being born and bred in the Riverland, you know, you get a really good understanding that the Riverland community was really built on this industry. And, you know, we've really enjoyed the premium market advantage of being fruit fly free for decades. So, you know, being part of the Riverland, you know how critically important it is, not just for our growers, but for our communities and the entire region. As you know, as you all know, less money in the hands of a grower is less money in our communities and our small businesses. So, you know, I think it's really critical that the importance of maintaining fruit fly free status can never be underestimated.
It's okay to say, you know, fruit fly free, but we have to remain fruit fly free, Tim. That's where the problem sort of raised its very ugly head this time around.
Yeah, look, it has. And, you know, for your listeners, so that they understand, all of the detections or the larvae detections or of the five outbreaks, well, that's not true, of the four outbreaks have been in people's backyards. Mm. There was one commercial consignment of fruit that came out of the Riverland. But, look, I can't reinforce enough that the Riverland has to stand up on this one. And to have that fruit fly free status is a huge feather in our cap, not only into protocol markets, but you know, we have fought for decades to be fruit fly free, and we can't drop the ball on this now. And so that's why Nicola and I have come together, and we're calling on every Riverlander to play their part. Where if you own backyard trees, consider stripping them. We would like everyone to say yes, we'll strip the trees to remove the host material. But we've also got to stand side by side with our growers, because this is going to cost the Riverland a significant amount of money, about $4 a case to treat the fruit. And if you do the numbers, not hard, it could be between $20 and $30 million out of the local economy in making sure that we have the fruit picked, treated into our markets. And if we didn't have to treat it, that'd be $20 or $30 million back into our local economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you were talking about this earlier off air, how long until we get back to the fruit fly free status? We're looking at a couple of years, a couple of months. Nicola, any idea?
Well, they'll soon go into what's called their dormant period. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're really looking up until about sort of October, November, December. But of course, then they start getting active again. Mm-hmm. So, which is why it's really important that we work right now to strip those trees, and also to make sure that we're not sharing and moving any homegrown fruit. So yes, really critical period now, but also we're going to see this again in September, October, November. So it's really important that that message continues into at least next spring and summer.
Right. So we have to basically, moving forward, we have to just think that we're constantly in a non-fruit fly free zone and act accordingly.
Yeah. And it's about a culture. You know, the Riverland have always growing a lot of fruit. Everyone's got backyard trees. Most people have got backyard trees. Mm. But it's always been, you know, sharing with your friends, your neighbours, your family, a beautiful, you know, bag of peaches or some citrus or, you know, anything that you've grown in your backyard, because we do grow some of the best horticulture in the world. But we're going to have to just think a little bit before we do that, and that's don't move fruit out of your properties, so that we actually cauterise any duplication of the Queensland fruit fly. And that's why this week we've been out releasing sterile flies. The guys in the orange overalls are out there We're seeing all of our growers now, or most of the growers that are in areas, are having to dip their fruit. We have to all play a part in eradicating fruit fly.
I think the other thing to mention as well, Tim, though, is that you know, other than eating your fruit, fruit can also be preserved. It can be cooked, and then you know, if you can't do either of those, then dispose of appropriately depending on where you're located.
I've got a good recipe for jam.
Yeah, I think Paul Newman's copyright department's after you, Tim, pretty soon. Yeah, just in all seriousness, Tasmania is fruit fly free. Now, Tasmania's an island. Probably a little bit easier to stop trafficking of fruit fly to the isle. SA is the only mainland state to have fruit fly free status, which I find the sentence quite humorous sometimes, Tim, because I don't know of too many other offshore states other than Tasmania. At the borders, in all seriousness though, the pressure from borders is ramping up, and we know we have a bit of a laugh at, you know, Yamba from time to time and things like that about, you know, going through a checkpoint, but it's serious stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. And yes, the pressure is ramping up, and it's not just ramping up on the eastern borders. We now know that we've got Mediterranean fruit fly coming from the west, and so that's why Adelaide has over 700 suburbs that are in that outbreak zone. Look, it's more important than ever that we remain vigilant, and that's why the random roadblocks will ramp up. We'll see more and more people knocking on doors. This is about the state government standing with the Riverland, and I want to commend, as part of the, as Nicola and I, as part of the state government, that, you know, that we are standing up against this pest, and we've got to make sure that the Riverland does everything it can to assist the government in making sure that the Riverland remains fruit fly free. And to do that, we've all got to play a part.
I'll do your bit. Now, one thing I just want to go back to is, remember when the at Yamba they brought in the zero tolerance and everyone was just going into a meltdown, going, oh, it's the wrong thing to do. Turns out it was the right thing to do, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because look at the outcome that still happened, even with that. So
absolutely, and I'd just like to commend Tim. You know, he was a real driver for getting zero tolerance through, and I think it's the best thing that we've done for the Riverland.
All right, he's always working hard on it. It's a topic very close to his heart, as is his jam recipe, which you're happy to give out. People can contact your office. You're happy to...
Indeed.
You should have it on a fly.
He hasn't given it to me yet.
Well, just start.
Everyone gets a different recipe, so no one knows what the real recipe is.
Yeah. Instead of having the calendar that you send out for people to stick on their fridge, you need to put your jam recipe out.
Well,
see,
it's an idea.
Yeah, he's shaping up to be a political advisor.
It's
here.
A great idea. Yes.
Election coming up, Tim. Yeah, look at this guy on board, eh?
Now, Nicola, thanks, guys, for talking about the serious stuff, but now we have to talk about the really serious stuff. when it comes to politics, this is the hot topic. Polly's picks in the Pioneer. Ooh. And
how is that going?
Mate, how's it going? Have a listen to this. Oh, how's that going? Am I still a contender? Oh. You're at 52.
Oh.
Your nearest contender, I think, is Tony Passan. He's on 9. And Nicola, you're doing all right. You're doing all right for a member of the upper house who normally is told to sort of stay out of the limelight. Don't
invisible.
Take it away.
Invisible.
don't take too much away from the big dog here. You're doing all right. You're sitting at 4, obviously getting double points for that front
girl.
Page.
Yeah, that's it.
So well done. Congratulations on making the board. I mean, you've got a lot of catching up to do. Looks like, Tim, you're going to run away with it. But anything could happen. Early days.
Absolutely. And I'm thinking this 52. Community meeting in Wonka, Tony Passan in a couple of weeks.
Oh.
Who knows what could happen there?
You never know. They could have 50 photos in one episode.
Hey, don't worry. They get a good attendance to the Golden Grain Tavern. That's the mecca of Wonka.
They don't need Tony Passan to be there either to get a good turnout. The Honourable Nicola Centifardi, MLC, thanks for your time this morning. The Honourable Tim Whetstone, member for Chafee. Nice to catch up with you guys, and we'll chat again in a couple of weeks to
thanks,
talk more on fruit fly. Hopefully it's better news then.